Man, all weekend long, guys. Phenomenal. I love that. I'm waking up. I feel it in my bones. I think some of us are starting to wake up and feel it in our bones as we turn the corner to actually applying some of the things we've been learning about changing the world. When you leave today, you're going to get one of these beans and rice starter kits. Oh, yeah. We did this last year. We thought it was going to be a one-year thing and said, oh, wow, it's kind of fun. Let's do it 2 years in a row. And so here's what's going to happen if you haven't heard this already. You can opt in on changing the world by helping us put money towards initiatives I'm going to share in just a moment. And the way we do that is we eat differently. We eat weirdly. So if you have beans and rice, and by the way, when you get this starter packet, we learned this last year, you have to soak this for like 24 hours. Lib was out of town when we started our thing last year, and Mariah and I, it was just the two of us, and I just thought you just put it in some water and microwave it. No, it doesn't work that way. You know, but nonetheless, we soldiered through and got it done. So what you do is, this might cost you 14 cents for a meal. So if it's 14 cents that you've eaten, and the difference between that and what you would have normally eaten, you put that towards the initiative. So it's 14 cents there, or if you'd have went to Applebee's and it was $11.10, you save $10.98. You try to do math in front of 3,000 people. It's kind of rough to do it. And then what we'll do is we'll go to our Crossroads app, our giving app, and we'll earmark it, beans and rice, every meal, and boom, boom, boom. It's the easiest for us. Some of you might want to actually keep a running ledger throughout the week. Others of us might want to just kind of save the cash, whatever works for you, and bring it in that weekend. You do this however this works for you. Every meal all week, great. Lunch all week, great. Some people might say, I want to just eat out of my pantry. I'm not going to buy any new food for the week, and I'll put the difference towards that. Great. Whatever works for you, let's just all get engaged. And why would we do that? Because of four things. Here we go. Number one. First thing we're going to put our resources against is a major problem we have in our city. Do you realize the kids, the children in our city, are the number two poorest children in the nation of America? Number two. In fact, when you have a government-subsidized meal plan at school, you get breakfast and you get lunch, and what happens when the school year is over? You are hungry. We have in our city over the summertime, they've estimated, a billion calorie deficit amongst our children. A billion. So what we're going to do is not only help feed kids all summer, but also help them stop the summer slide, because education, they lose that stuff. And on top of that, you know, if you don't have a healthy home environment, you probably don't have a lot of good things to do in the summer. You want in the streets, get into trouble. And there's an organization called Whole Again that last summer fed 1,800 kids as a program, 34 locations. You go all day. They teach you. You have some stuff that you do. They feed you. And we're going to do more kids. We're going to feed the children of our city all summer long. We're going to teach them all summer long. We're going to give them a healthy environment. Are you excited about that? It's changing the world. Second thing we're going to do is actually the ripple effects that we've been having happened starting last year, because last year this was just us that did this, and we've had 30 other churches that said, man, we want to get in on that. We said, awesome. So 30 other churches, the ripple effects of what we've been doing have been spreading out to other churches. And so of all those churches, there's two things that we're all doing together, and then each church is probably doing one or two things on their own. And the winner that all the churches wanted to get in on is something we're already doing, and we figured, well, let's just go in on it with them. The second thing we're going to do is we're going to support CityLink. CityLink, it's the best-in-class model in our city to bring up in standards the working poor. Now, we've done a lot with CityLink. We built the building. Operational costs this year are things that we're into. We're giving CityLink an operating cost this year, $750,000. And you know, we're excited to do that. Some people who are unsophisticated givers don't understand that operating costs is how you change the world. You have to have infrastructure. You have to have boots on the ground. You have to have facilities as a base. And so at Crossroads, we willfully, out of all the things that we give this year $750,000 towards the operational costs to actually get people to a new place. But we want to go beyond that. We want to go beyond that because there's been 118 people who've gotten jobs so far at CityLink. Isn't that awesome? through Cincinnati Works and the other partners there. Amazing, amazing stuff. And so all additional we can do is just more people that are going to come out of poverty, more people who are building relationships with people who understand how to have a holistic life. So we're going to do that. Number three, we here in our city, we have another huge problem that seemingly came out of nowhere. It's called heroin. There is a massive, massive problem here in our city. In fact, part of our operational cost at Crossroads goes to staff members, and we have a staff member who was in Washington, D.C. just this last week, and he interacted with the lead researcher for the CDC, Center for Disease Control. And the lead researcher said that the epicenter nationally for heroin and opiate abuse is Cincinnati. From 2012 to 2013, the deaths associated with heroin went up 550%. And they're going up even sharper in 2014. So we're going to eat different to try to help people get out of addiction and to keep people from ever getting addicted in the first place. That's what we're going to do. And every dollar you can save, every dollar you put into heroin prevention on the front end, saves society $12 on the back end in medical costs and crime costs. So we're going to build into our city and have the ripple effects. We're going to eat beans and rice to help people get off of heroin and stay off heroin. That's what we're going to do. And number four, this is a little different. Some people go, why are we doing that? I have to explain this to all of us, make sure we get this. All the three things we just talked about, these are problems that we're getting that are coming down the stream to us. These are problems downstream. These are pollutants, if you will. These are difficult things that's like, gosh, I don't like this stuff here. We got to clean it up. We got to deal with it. And that's part of what the kingdom of God is about, cleaning society, helping society, blessing people who are hurting, bringing people out of poverty. But you know, that's not the only thing God's excited about. The kingdom of God is not just about dealing with difficult issues. The kingdom of God is also about beautiful artwork. The kingdom of God is also about amazing senses of humor and just belly laughing. The kingdom of God is about great and plentiful sex in marriage. That's the kingdom of God is about. The kingdom of God is about wealth creation. The kingdom of God is about having enough money and getting a job. You know, you could do all that you want to help people in poverty, but if there's not a job for them to get into, they will not get out of poverty. And so we're going to get upstream on this. We're going to go way upstream, and there's a group of entrepreneurs that are here at Crossroads. They're starting something called Ocean. It's an accelerator, a business accelerator where you have an idea, you apply to it, and you come into an environment where your product idea can be developed and accelerated into production. And you also have, it'll be the first, as far as we know, in the entire country, where there will be a spiritual faith component. So you'll be able to figure out how to come to Cincinnati from anywhere in the country, or if you're in Cincinnati, and if you get accepted in a small pool of people, learn how to build a business that, guess what, is going to employ people in the very city of Cincinnati, that's going to give people jobs. You know, two-thirds of all new jobs come through small businesses, two-thirds. So we want to raise the water level economically in our city by getting behind entrepreneurs and resourcing them to start crazy, crazy ventures that's going to bless us. Are you excited about that? You should be excited about that. So these four things are why we're going to change our diet this week. And let's take a look at what happened last year, because it was really encouraging what happened last year, to just give us one final shot of motivation before I get into the nuts and bolts of what I want to talk about today. And while that happens, we're going to have the opportunity to be generous. If you're newer today, no worries. We probably know that you don't trust us because there's too many weird things you don't understand. Let the bag pass you by. But for the rest of us, this is how we build into the infrastructure here at Crossroads. It's changing the world. Or you can also go to crossroads.net/give. Use your electronic device if you're already logged in. That would be awesome. Let's go ahead and be generous as we revisit last year.
Change. Love is the light.
debrief what just happened. Have you ever noticed how weird it is that a bag comes down the aisle and people put something into it? Where else does that happen? Do the Reds ever do that? No. You ever notice how weird it is that people actually would pull out electronic devices and send money to give and they get nothing in return? Tangible, physical product. Does that happen anywhere else other than in a local church? No. How about people who sign up for e-gift? How weird is it that ever you give permission to Crossroads to take, extract money as you're giving out of your paycheck or out of your account whenever is right for you automatically? Does PBS ever do that to you without giving you a calendar in return? I mean, let's just recognize that whole thing is really weird, and that's why Cincinnati Reds, PBS, as much as I like those, they'll never change the world. Because the body of Christ, the church of Jesus, has been changing the world because of doing weird things like that on and on and on and on. In fact, today, we're going to look at one of the weird events out of the book of Acts that I find personally inspiring, and it gives us four principles to draw from as we go into our week of eating weird. This comes from the book of Acts, chapter 19, verse 18. Here's what it says. Also, many of those who are now believers came, confessing and divulging their practices. And a number of those who had practiced magic arts brought their books together and burned them in the sight of all, and they counted the value of them and found it came to 50,000 pieces of silver. So the word of the Lord continued to increase and prevail mightily. These people did something really weird. They burned assets that they had. Really weird. And as we see in that passage at the end, the word of the Lord prevailed mightily. The world started to change because of something weird they did. We're going to eat weird this week, and the world's going to change as a result of it. Eating weird changes the world, just like what they did changed the world because of four things. Number one, it's done in community. It's done in community. When it is done in a communal aspect. It says a number of those came. So this wasn't just one person who says, hey, I want to make a change in my life. A number of those came who had books that they came to discern were spiritually unhealthy books. They did it together. And this is crazy radical. Total crazy radical. That you would take an asset and you would burn it willfully in and of your own accord. This is rough. And people were criticizing this. It's like, this is weird. Why would you do this? To be clear, this is not book burning like we have in our country, where someone storms a library out of censorship, throws books down, and burns them up. These are people who willfully decide and understand these books are not accurate spirituality. They need to be gone. And people didn't understand. I'll tell you what, you start changing the world, you're going to be weird. You start being weird and you are going to get criticized. People are not going to understand that. Because in our world of every man for himself, every woman for herself, do whatever feels good for you, quid pro quo, only do what someone else is doing for you, measure and be fair at all times, nothing ever changes that way. There will be criticism. A sweet, dear woman, her name is Brené Brown. She came on the national scene through an amazing TED Talk a number of years ago, and now she's a best-selling author. She's just a real sweetie of a woman, and that's why when I ran across this quote, it was salty enough that it kind of struck me, and I also thought it was enlightening for me, and I hope it is for you as well. She says this, "If you aren't in the arena also getting your ass kicked, I'm not interested in your feedback." I like that. We can have all kinds of opinions, but the opinions that matter are those who we're in community with and are in the same arena trying to knock things down. Communal aspect will be heightened by social media. I encourage you, post your stuff to Facebook, tweet it. Let's continue to encourage one another by the things that we're experiencing and learning. The second thing that happens with this group of people and with us, eating weird includes being sacrificial. Being sacrificial. When they burn these books, it has a financial toll to them. It says, and when they counted the value of them, when they counted the value of it, they found it was 50,000 or 50-some pieces of silver. We don't know how big the silver is. But we know this. Rough estimates are this is about $2 million worth of stuff that goes up into smoke. My goodness, that's a sacrifice. See, a sacrifice doesn't mean necessarily something that hurts you, something that devastates you. A sacrifice just means I could have this, and instead I'm choosing to have this over here. They sacrifice their books. They sacrifice their bad spirituality. And when they do so, there's smoke that arises, which is like the sacrifice in the Old Testament. See, in the Old Testament, they had sacrifices. You would take an animal, it was one kind of sacrifice, and you put it on an altar, and the animal would be killed, and you would remember, I'm the one who deserves to die because I'm the one who's offended my holy God when he's only loved me. And God is reminding me that he's gracious because this animal is dying instead of me. And the aroma would go up, reminding you of the grace of God, and God would appreciate your appreciation and sacrifice. Or sometimes it was a grain offering. You take grain, you know, the first grain that you would get when you picked it in the harvest, and you'd burn the grain. You burn it up to God, the first part of it saying, God, you blessed me with this. I just want to remember that this is your grain. It's not you generated this grain, not myself. And when these aromas would go up, the book of Leviticus says things like this. It says, it is a burnt offering to the Lord. It's a pleasing aroma, a food offering to the Lord. God goes, that smells good. And then the New Testament, Philippians chapter 4, it builds on this. It says this, a sweet-smelling aroma, an acceptable sacrifice, well-pleasing to God. I'll tell you what, when we go out and we get our beans and rice, there's going to be some aromas in our house. Yes, there is. There's going to be you, every time you flatulate, there will be a sweet-smelling aroma that will rise unto the Lord. Yes. It's a Brian Tome special. No pastor has the guts to say that, but I just did. It's true. When you sacrifice any differently, and if you find that your body starts doing things that Febreze has to come against, you will offer to God a sweet-smelling aroma. In fact, even if you take Beano ahead of time, when God looks at people who willfully choose to sacrifice that pleases him, he goes, there's a sacrificial life. A life that's ruled by love. I love it, God says. One of my favorite shows to watch, please don't judge me because it's definitely morally questionable. It's called House of Cards on Netflix. Anybody else? Yeah, a few of us, all right. The basic premise is you have a Frank who is now Vice President of the United States and his wife Claire who is former head of a nonprofit, and their relationship is a really odd marriage, and they're just trying to finagle their way to the top of the heap pile. And you just get the sense that their life is going to crumble at some point. It is a house of cards, right? So on NPR, she was on the Diane Rehm show a couple weeks ago, Robin Wright was, who's the character for Claire, and Diane Rehm says, isn't the marriage, that's sort of how she said it. She said, isn't your marriage actually on film actually very transactional? Isn't it very transactional? And Robin Wright said, trying to be interesting, and perhaps it was just exactly what she thought, she said, well, isn't all love at its heart transactional? Isn't all love at its heart transactional? And I heard that and I went, it's exactly the view of our society. It's exactly, we don't even understand love. That is what love is. In our society, it's transactional. I make you feel good and you make me feel good. You're not making me feel good. I'm not going to make you feel good. And then the relationship ends. Oh, okay. I'll do some good stuff. What's my fair share? What's my fair share? Or what am I going to get back or give back because you just gave to me, so I need to give back? And what is quid pro quo on this? These are all things that we bring into relational area, and they don't work. They're not love. The only way you know that love is sacrificial, not transactional, is because Jesus modeled it. Jesus left heaven, came to earth, it was a sacrifice, and he got himself nailed to a cross. The book of 2 Corinthians chapter 8 puts it this way, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you by his poverty might become rich. He gave himself up. The Bible says that God so loved the world that he gave, he sacrificed his only begotten son, that whosoever should believe in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. That's love. It's sacrifice. It's not what do I get out of it. It's I lay my life down. And this week, we're going to sacrificially lay our life down for other Cincinnatians. We're going to lay ourselves down, change something about ourselves so that other people can go forward. Third thing is this early group of believers in Acts 19, they lived an integrated life. When you eat weird, you live in an integrated way. You bring all aspects of your life together. You know, it's interesting, these people, why didn't they sell it on eBay? Well, there was no eBay, that's for starters. But, you know, they could have gone to the market and sold their books used. They had a lot of value. Why is that? A lot of us would have done that because we actually view our spirituality or our faith as something totally separate from the rest of our life. We live however we want to from Monday night to Saturday night, and then we go to Mass, or we go to Crossroads, or we go to Temple, whatever we do. And we just, okay, I got to get clean right now, and then I start Monday off, and I haven't applied or learned anything from my religious spiritual experience. It's all very incredibly segmented. Or we see in the business world, people who profess to believe in God will say things in a business setting. They'll say something like this: hey, it's just business. In other words, I just screwed you over in the name of business. God's okay with it. It's just business. We integrate our lives into these separate little sections. And why didn't these early believers just sell it and give the money away? It's because they thought, no, this is bad stuff. People shouldn't be reading this. It gives a false spirituality. In our day and age, we don't sacrifice or turn away from anything. We just glob new things on. So I'll add a little Deepak Chopra to my Jesus. I'll add a little Jesus to my reincarnation. I'll get a little Buddhism and kind of stew that into the prayer life, and I do this. And maybe there's elements of truth from all different places that reflect God's truth in the Scriptures. Perhaps there are. But very few of us want to sacrifice and turn away from something and say, no, that just isn't good. This early followers of Jesus said, all the things God's given me, my relationships, my money, my spirituality, all reflect who he is and what I think of. They lived an integrated life. I saw a pretty good movie recently. It's called Divergent. Anybody seen Divergent? It's a pretty good movie. She dies at the end. And she doesn't. She doesn't. I'm kidding now. Well, maybe I'm not kidding. Now I didn't ruin the movie for you. You have no idea. The premise of the movie reminded me of a good friend of mine. He has a teaching that I've actually given here. I want to give it again, a little short form. A good friend of mine by the name of Mike Breen, he has this idea called the five capitals. And it basically is that if we look at the Bible, there's five different resources that God pours into you. There's five different things that should be integrated in your life. Five things that you can actually grow in magnitude, and you can use these different sources of capital to grow the other source of capital. You know, I was thinking about that with Divergent because there's five groups of people in this movie. And at some point in life, and this is all in the preview, so I'm not ruining anything for you, I promise you. There's five things, and you take a test at some point in your life, and with the test, along with what you want to do, you go into one of these five categories for the rest of your life. One category is the people who kind of work the land and provide the food supply. Another group of people is candor. These are the people who just tell truth all the time. They're able to just say the way it is. Another group of people are the selfless people. They're the ones who want to serve society. In this society, these are the politicians. Wouldn't that be nice? There's the politicians, those who serve society. Another group is the brainiacs. These are the ones who are in science and solve complex problems. And then the fifth group is called dauntless. And she becomes part of Dauntless. Dauntless are those who have physical abilities, and they serve society through police and through the armed forces, that sort of thing. Well, when she goes to get her test, the woman who gives her the test freaks out and says, you need to get out of here right now, because basically she doesn't fit into any of the categories, or today's vernacular, any of the different capitals. So you need to get out of here, because she says this. She says, if they can't categorize you, they can't control you, and they will come and try to kill you. Tell you what, all of us in here probably could be categorized by one of the five capitals, because there's one thing that you trend to and you like a lot, and there's the others that you think are dirty or you're just not very proficient in. And the key is, everybody who changes the world is divergent. Everyone who changed the world takes all of the pools of capital that God has poured into us, and they learn how to leverage those to set in motion ripple effects. Here's the five capitals. First one is financial. It's obvious. Financial resources, it's a source of capital. And Jesus talks about all five of these. They're all throughout the Bible. Second one is intellectual. Intellectual. The brain that you have, the ideas that you have, that's capital. And you can grow your mental ability. The third one is physical. It's physical. The fourth one is relational. Our relational aptitudes and the blessings of people in our life. And the fifth one is spiritual, or it's specifically defined as faith. This isn't I have spiritual feelings. This is I have the faith, I have the resources of faith to take steps when other people are afraid. I have the resource of faith to be tenacious in going after what God wants, even when a lesser known person, a lesser person would crumble. I have spiritual capital, and so I keep pressing on and leaning into it. Now, these five capitals, the way I just gave them to you, they build in difficulty to acquire. So the easiest capital to get is financial. The second easiest to get is intellectual, physical, relational, and spiritual. Now, I know some of you right now, you're kind of groaning like, no way is financial easiest. No, it is, honestly. It is easiest. I mean, you can earn $5 tomorrow or figure out a way to get $100 tomorrow way easier than right now. I can heal the physical issue of my throat. Have you noticed my throat is not right now? Some of you are going, no, it's my first time at CrossFit. I thought you were just droning on and you were boring sounding. No, I have a major issue in my throat here. And what is that? Physical, I can't change the physical capital of my throat right now. No amount of money is going to help me be better fit. It's harder to get. If you have three limbs versus my four, you have less physical capital. And so the power happens in life when we learn how to leverage all the different sources of our capital and throw it into something in order to bring about change. Average tax refund this year, for those who are getting refunds, is $3,000. That's what the experts say. It's the average tax refund for those who are getting refunds. And I got turned on to a blog of how somebody thought you should reproduce and grow that refund. How would you have ripple effects with it? And they recommend taking your boss out to lunch. Here's what it says. Your number one moneymaker is your job. Hence, it behooves you to invest as much as you can in making yourself the most compensated employee possible. One of the best ways to get paid and promoted is to build a tremendous support network of individuals predisposed to root for your success. When it comes time for a raise and a promotion, your name will float to the top of the list because managers tend to take care of people they like and they disregard people they don't know. So what's he say? He calculates it's 1,000% return if you take your boss out to lunch. What's he saying? Take your financial resources and throw it into the relationship with your boss and you'll get paid more in the future. Or maybe when there's layoffs, he'll know you and like you and he won't lay you off. This is how money works. This is how all of the different capitals work. And so what we do is we figure out which one needs to grow and say it's relationships, and we throw money into relationships. You can build your relational life by pouring money into it. And actually, Jesus said that we should do this. In Luke chapter 16, verse 9, Jesus says, really, I'm honest, use worldly wealth to gain friends for yourself. That was Jesus? Yeah, that was Jesus. That's what he said. I experienced this last week. I went to a motorcycle rally. It was down in Tennessee. There was about 300 people from around the country who were there. And there was about 20 guys who I knew or knew of. I didn't know all of them, but I knew there was about 20 people in a circle of influence or awareness who were going down there. And so we camped there, and people did different rides, different times of the weekend. And finally, the one day, the last full day, everyone rode together. I didn't know everybody who was there. I'd met some people, had forgotten their names. You know, if there's one gift, one piece of capital I would love God to give me, a superhuman spiritual capital, it would be to remember the name of everybody I meet the first time. Honestly, isn't there something special when someone remembers your name? I would love that. I mean, it's, you're like Superman. You're giving people love when you remember their name. So we go to lunch. We've just ridden, and somebody says, "Hey, are we?" The waitress comes up, and she says, "Is this all separate or all on one?" And I'm kind of going, "I don't know. Let's see what people say." And so we'll put it all on one. So when they decide to put it all on one, I have enough intellectual capital that I know how to order when it's all on one. Because when it's just me, I always look at the price. We'll have that. I'm price conscious. But when it's all on one, I'm not looking at the price at all. Why should I get a peanut butter and jelly when you're going to get a steak and I have to carry you? There's no way. So when you hear, if you have intellectual capital, you will order accordingly when you have a large group of 20 and everybody's just, so we're ordering what we want, it's all good. We have several pitchers of beer, it's very good. And then we go outside. After that, I go outside, call my wife, call Lib. I'm talking with Lib, hey, good day, yada, yada, yada. I said, okay, I got to go. I go back in and I said, where's the bill? How much do we each own? Oh, and I'm told, don't owe anything. Tom picked it up. I said, Tom, who's Tom? Tom, so-and-so's father-in-law. You know, I'd met him the previous day. I didn't really necessarily remember. I said, you're kidding. He bought the whole thing? The whole, all 20 guys deal? Yeah. So I went up to him and said, Tom, you did not need to do that. No one was expecting that at all. Tom said, I know, but I've had more fun the last 4 hours than I have the last 10 years of my life. This was great for me to do. I was like, geez. You know what Tom did? Tom bought 20 friends. That's what Tom did. Seriously. Everybody knew Tom's name. Everybody did. Tom bought 20 friends. We're going, hey, Tom, you know what our next trip is? You want to come? Tom, you need to get this certain bike. If you have this bike, then we can ride together. And it's not because, hey, I want you to be around me because maybe I'll get a free lunch again. No, it's not at all. It was, everyone went, what a good dude. What a good dude. I wouldn't mind being around that person more. In fact, you know when people are cheap, you don't want to be around them. In fact, they drain friends. Not only can they not know how to buy a friend, they don't know how to keep a friend because no one wants to be around them. This is the magic of living an integral life and seeing all of these areas as things God blesses. And one of the reasons why the early followers of Christ had such a pervasive influence on society and the world is they moved inside of all these capitals. They were divergent, and they knew how to use them to live a long and satisfying life. Rodney Stark, in his book, The Triumph of Christianity, he says this, what is almost always missed is that Christianity often puts the pie on the table. It makes life better here and now, not merely in psychological ways, as faith in an attractive afterlife can do, but in terms of concrete worldly benefits. Consider that a study based on ancient tombstones has established that early Christians outlived their pagan neighbors. What that demonstrates is that Christians enjoyed a superior quality of life. They outlived people. Why is that? It's because they understood how life worked, because they understood the five capitals and they were divergent in them. Let's go back to our little graph again. So physically, they live longer. And by the way, we're learning who lives longest today. In Harvard in 2010, they released this study about what relationships do to enable us to live longer. It says this. It says, people who have satisfying relationships have been shown to be happier, with fewer health problems, and live longer. In contrast, having few social ties is associated with depression, cognitive decline, and premature death. So if you want to live a physically long time, what do you have to do? You have to pour your relationships into it. You have to be relationally aware. You have to exercise your brain in order to decrease the likelihood of senility and have a long, effective life. You need to be able to take care of yourself when you break a finger, have enough financial assets to do that. You need to be able to be not stressed out about everything that happens because you realize there's a God who has given you faith. And it isn't always exactly as it seems, because God can come up and make the difference. All of this contributes to being a holistic person. Here's the crazy thing. What you do with all these things increases or decreases your faith. Everything does. We think, well, I just don't have the faith of the next person. Well, No, you're just not investing in the capital of your faith like the next person. We're going to be able to invest in our spiritual capital this week. And for some of us, investing in our spiritual capital, our physical capital is going to decrease. Maybe you have an amazing diet, a perfect diet, and you may find that beans and rice is a downside, and you may lose physical capital. You may not be able to exercise as much as you would have before. You're going to increase, though, in spiritual capital because of your decrease in physical capital. Others of us, we may grow in spiritual capital and in physical capital because you might find that beans and rice is a better diet than the one that you normally have. But all of us who are going to do this out of love, out of sacrifice, in community, to be integrated, are going to have a faith spike. Why is that? It's not just because we're throwing more resources into our faith, stepping out. It's because God knows who is. And guess what? He's more happy with those who do than don't. This is not like preacher guilt here. I'm not trying to guilt you into this. Not at all. You just have to want to do any version you want to do that works for you. It's got to come out of your own heart. But Jesus says this, which is very important to see in the book of Matthew. He says, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master." So based on how we steward our resources, God gets more or less joy out of how we live our lives, and God throws more capital into us. He throws more resource into us. He throws more faith into us, more finances into us, more relationships, more physical, more intellectual, based on how we're honoring him and growing in our faith. Fascinating. Now, by the way, next week, before I forget, I've forgotten this to a couple services, so they're going to be really bummed out next week. But I remember to tell you, so here we go. Next week, we're all going to make an additional communal sacrifice because next weekend we're not going to have coffee and sodas and all that. We're going to put that money towards these four initiatives next week. Yeah, good. We'll have water in here, but we're not going to have all that. So if you need your caffeine buzz, totally respect that, but don't walk in here going, "Oh, I need my coffee. They don't have coffee. Oh, no." No. Come all caffeined up if you're not going to fast from caffeine. Come all caffeined up and just get ready next week as we celebrate all the things that God's going to do through us. And fourth and final, what this group of people did in Acts 19, it preceded a whole bunch of other things that came out after it. It's what I will now coin the word precedental. It was precedental. It set a precedent that kept rolling over and having impact elsewhere. It says this at the end of that section. It said, "So the word of the Lord continued to increase and prevail mightily." What's the word of the Lord? The word of the Lord is anything God wants to have happen, happens. It's God's principles. It's God's priorities. It's God's sacrifice. It's God's love. The word of the Lord, the way the world should operate, the way love is, it prevailed more and more and more mightily. This week, the word of the Lord is going to prevail with more might and more intensity inside of Cincinnati than maybe any other week all year, because thousands of people are going to communally sacrifice out of an integrative life so that prevailing change happens. Who's excited about that? We want to see the ways of God escalate. We want to see the ways of God escalate in all of our individual lives, in our church, in all churches across the city, and in every life in our city. That's the stakes. So when we leave here today, remember, get your beans, get it done. It's going to be good when we pray. God, thank you for today. And I just have a special prayer right now. I know there's people in here who are lacking spiritual capital. They're lacking spiritual capital. For some people, the way it's manifested is just being cynical towards everything that's been said, all these four initiatives. They're just not excited about it. Others are lacking spiritual capital because they really want to do what's laid out, but they're just afraid. They're not sure what changing a diet would look like or how that is. They're just uncertain there. They're tentative. And I'm praying, God, would you give enough faith to have everybody in here step into the challenge? Would you give enough spiritual capital that we will try something, do something different this week that we didn't do last week out of sacrificial love for others in our city, for our neighbors. God, thank you that you've given us models. You've given me models in my life. My parents who have done things like this. People who have built into me spiritually. People I can read about in the Bible or out of biographies. Thank you for the greats that have gone before us. And we ask to be counted among the greats because of what we do this week. Amen. All right, as we leave, let's continue to think about what it looks like for us to have a pervading, positive, radioactive experience. We'll see you next week.